Amen. And you may be seated. And if you are still looking for a seat, we do have a few spread out. Would love to invite you to come nearer to the front. I promise that there's a no splash zone, so you'll be perfectly okay. My name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at City Church, and it's a joy to welcome you together in worship with us, and so thankful for the opportunity to sing with you and to be reminded of the hope of the gospel. I especially want to thank you, if you're a guest with us, for just your patience. Speaking specifically to a few of you I know that are in our cafe, in our overflow space this morning, and unable to find room here in the sanctuary, just thank you for your patience with us, and as you dropped off littles and found that our littles rooms were full. We are doing all that we can to make room. That is the giant mess you see beyond that fence line. You might not have been able to peek through there, but we are working, literally working and underway on a new sanctuary. And we have done that, taken that under sort of an initiative as a church family, because we see rooms like this regularly that are completely full and at capacity, and we want to make room for you. And so thank you for your patience, and know that we're doing all that we can, as quickly as we can, to make room for you to be here. I also want to just entice you a little bit with something known as the 8:30 service. If you are, especially those of you who are members, covenant partners of City Church, if you would endeavor to get up just a little bit early and then beat everyone to Sunview or Nani's or wherever you might find yourself after, we would greatly appreciate that. But we are in a study in the book of 1 Corinthians, as you can see on the screen behind me. Last week, we took a break from this study to rightly lament and just grieve together, as we see and saw so prevalently publicly, but also I know in so many of your lives just personally, just heartbreak and darkness and wondering what to do with that. If you've missed either the opening of this series in 1 Corinthians or that message that I believe I'm praying and prayed before and pray that it would continue, bring hope in a dark world, go to wherever you find a podcast. You can find that sermon. You can go to our website as well under our resources, our sermons tab. You can find that sermon and all of the other sermons as we continue here this morning in 1 Corinthians. You can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as I say that, you'll know that we're not too far along in this, too far along that you can't catch up with where we are if you would like to. It's quite fitting, though, as we come to this text this morning, that we would land in a place that Paul is using the illustration of a building, and a building that is built on a structure, on a firm foundation, as we literally started this work this week. We have been preparing and doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, waiting for all of the permits and things that we needed in place. But this week, they actually started moving dirt on our property. And the reality is, as we think about buildings, and we have been doing this quite literally as a elder team and staff team and building, just thinking about our building, we can spend money on walls, we can spend money on paint, we can spend money on the greatest light fixtures and everything else that your eye might be able to see. But if the foundation is bad, if the foundation is not strong, the building will not last, the building will not stand, and ultimately we will struggle. So often, this is the reality of our spiritual lives today. Many do all that they can to erect walls of spirituality that look as if they might hold, to put up the best fixtures and the paint and sort of put out there through social media and whatever means that this is who I am and I'm following Jesus. And yet, the foundation can be something else apart from Christ. I can tell you that we have spent the greatest majority of our investment together in this new building is in one line item, concrete, because that's what the foundation is made of. That is the largest line item in our budget for this building, is that foundation. And it should also similarly be in our lives. The biggest and the most important thing is that we have built our lives on Christ, and that we strengthen our lives built on Christ alone. This is why we do a lot of things here in the church. We have great ministries in the church that we strive to pursue the Lord, re-engage with marriage and ladies' Bible studies and men's Bible studies and all of the like. And yet, if Christ is not the foundation, if the gospel, those things can help us remember the gospel, but most of what we do is to lay that foundation of the gospel. And this is what Paul is reminding us of as we come to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you're able, out of reverence for God's word, would you stand as I read our text this morning, picking up in verse 10 and following. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. They are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this word. We thank you for the reminder that we must build our lives on the firm foundation of who you are and what you have done for us, that you came and lived the life that we could not, laid down your life on a cross to atone for sin, my sin, and the sins of the world. Yet 3 days later, in the power of your love, you rose from the grave, conquering sin and death itself. And so we can have hope and find life, not just in eternity, but in this life. This is the promise of your gospel, and this is the foundation that we must build upon. And so I pray by the power of your Spirit that this morning, if there's anyone in this room listening to the sound of my voice, wherever they may be, if they have built their life on anything apart from you, would they confess that to you and receive your grace and your mercy, turn to you, and may you build a new foundation in their lives. For all the brothers and sisters who have a firm foundation in you, Jesus, but perhaps have allowed walls to be erected, things that look pretty but will not last, would you allow us to turn away from those things and build our lives on your word, your truth, your church, these things that will last into eternity. Help us in all these things by the power of your Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We're picking up in the middle of an argument here that Paul has been making almost all the way from the beginning. To give you a quick sort of catch-up in where we are in this study in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this letter to a church that he planted in a city called Corinth. Corinth was a very populous city, a worldly city. It was the center of much of commerce in the ancient world, in the region that it existed in. There was all sorts of wealth there. There was lots of traffic there. There were lots of people, lots of varying worldviews. And he goes there and he plants this church in this very worldly place. He stayed there for about 18 months, the book of Acts tells us, and then he departed from Corinth and continued his ministry going on planting new churches. And then he hears of some struggles that this church is happening, these people that he loves, and so he writes back to them to correct them and to help them understand. And the first thing that he hears is that they are dividing. Paul talks about their divisions that has been reported to him, and they're dividing up, sort of camping up under names of various leaders. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. And as you heard me read in our text, he's wrapping this all the way up now at the end of chapter 3, saying, this is not right and this is wrong. He, of course, helped us understand this in the second chapter of this book, where he says that everything that I preached was Christ and him crucified. His gospel is all that matters. It's not the wisdom of the world, and it's not the gifts of the messengers that you heard that gospel from. It's the gospel that you must build your lives upon. He then told us, as we looked a couple of weeks ago, as we studied the first half of this chapter, that we have to grow up. We've got to take ownership of our faith in Jesus, our discipleship, and mature in the faith and stop, as he described, just feeding on the milk as infants do, but grow up and start to feed on solid food, which is a maturing in the faith. And so as we come to verse 10, he is reminding the church that is as they build themselves up, as they receive the ministry of these leaders in the church and others building themselves up, they must understand and be committed that the foundation of their lives must be the gospel, must be Jesus. Christ, as we sometimes sing, is our firm foundation. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. And that foundation that he laid was the gospel, the message of Jesus, and that Christ alone is where we can find life and hope and life for eternity, but also life in abundance in this life today. Christ alone. He corrects this idea. Someone else building upon their lives. Yes, some others come, and God gifts leaders. This is part of my responsibility. Many of you have arrived here, and someone in your life at another point in time laid the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, taught you the gospel, helped you to find faith in the gospel, and you believed, and then you have joined, and you've come to this place, and we have come alongside that you and said, let us help you build your life up, strengthen you. But we're not replacing the foundation. We can't change the foundation. That's not the goal. That's not what we should strive to do. Jesus, of course, in Matthew chapter 7, you may remember that familiar warning, that warning that if you build your life upon anything other than Christ, that is like building your house on the sand. And ultimately, when the storm comes, when trials come, when darkness comes, when evil comes, as you build your life on things apart from Christ, the building will crumble. Isaiah, the great prophet, also spoke of this. In chapter 28, he says, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious, as we just sang, cornerstone of a sure foundation. Isaiah prophesies that God would send Jesus and that he would come and lay a foundation that would never fail. This is the foundation. It must be the foundation of our lives. And so, as we think about this, as we think about Paul correcting this church for the possibility of trying to replace the foundation of the gospel or to allow something to be built that is not rooted in the foundation of the gospel, what is our foundation? What is your foundation? What is the foundation of your life? Who is your foundation? What are you building your life upon? As they pour this foundation out here over the next couple of weeks, at some point we pray, like tomorrow maybe, probably not. But whenever they get there, you can know there's already some stakes in the ground that outline where that foundation must go. And they're going to then erect a structure upon that foundation. They won't do that arbitrarily. It won't be a foundation is laid and then they just arbitrarily put up some walls differently, some that stand on the foundation and others that overtake the foundation. No. They're going to build upon that firm foundation, the foundation that is laid. Likewise, we must build our lives on the foundation of Christ alone or our foundation will fail. Are you building your life on your financial security, your savings account? Are you building your life upon your own performance and success, the career ladder that you are aspiring to, whatever that might lead, or perhaps the performance or success of your children? You're building your life on what they will do. Maybe you're building your life on your reputation, your appearance. This is why social media has taken over the world, because it's trained us to build our lives on appearances rather than the foundation of Christ. Or perhaps building your life on the foundation of some tradition or even good church activity. Friends, You can be involved in everything that we do here, and yet if the foundation of your life is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're no closer to God than before. Your foundation must be Christ and His gospel, and then the activities of our lives and the things that we do will overflow from that. What is the foundation? Perhaps one of the great plagues of our current modern society, comfort and control. You only do what feels comfortable and what you can control. Building your life around convenience and these types of things. Whatever it is, so often we can be tempted to build our lives on a foundation that is not Jesus. And Paul is warning the church in Corinth and preserved by God's providence for us to read today. Like a skilled builder, I laid the foundation of the gospel. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, he continues this as he continues the illustration of the building. In verse 12, he gets to the structure. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Not only does Paul get to the building structure, but he tells us that there's a day coming when how we have built our lives will be judged. There is a judgment day coming. We will all, every human being, will stand before God and give an account. And for those of us who are in Christ, we will give an account for our lives, and that account for our lives will be wanting. And Jesus says, they're mine. I've paid for that. Their lives are built on the firm foundation. But as we do build our lives, as we think about that day, our desire should be that our lives would bring glory to God. Our lives would point others to that gospel foundation. Our lives would reflect what God has done in our lives. And so, as we build, what are we building with? Now, Paul gives a list of potential building materials, some that we would use today and others that would not be as familiar to us in our modern day: gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, straw. And he's not necessarily making a value statement about those things. Of course, we understand that gold and silver are more precious and more valuable than wood and hay and straw, but he's not making that correlation. What he's doing is he's saying that there are some things that you use to build that will last through fire, that will last through the storm, just echoing Jesus' words. If you build your house on my foundation, on me, on the rock, it will last. The sand is the wood and the hay and the straw that when the trials come, the house falls. And so he gets to this structure and he asks, what are we building our lives on? As we build, or not just what are we building our lives on, the foundation, but as we build our lives, what are we using? What are we building our lives to be? The quality of our life and our ministry and the way that we live will be tested, will be evaluated at one day. And I know I want to stand before Christ, and while I'll stand before Christ, a sinner, desperately in need of His mercy and grace, I want to live a life that brings honor and glory to His name. I want to do the very best that I can to do that. And so I think about, and we must think about, what are we using to build our lives? There are weak building materials. Legalism. Legalism says that I do everything right, reducing the Christian life to rules and appearances and performance. That is not the gospel. That is not what we build our lives on. It creates pride in the rule keeper. Emotionalism. Some of us build our lives on these moments of spiritual highs, Sunday to Sunday, event to event, conference to conference, whatever those things might be. This idea of just this emotional high that we live on. And this is not the life that Christ came to give us, where we would be steady. Ultimately, that fails because the soil is shallow and it isn't deep. Are we getting deep? Consumerism. We're here to just consume, treating the church like a spiritual store. By the way, Davis invited you, those of you who are covenant partners, to a meeting. If you want to know more about what it means to be a member of this church, tonight we'll have our join class. And it's just an opportunity. Some of you are ready to join and say, hey, I want to join City Church on mission. I want to join with these other believers that are here in what God has called them to do. And maybe you're just thinking, I want to learn more about what this church is all about. One of the things we'll talk about tonight is the fact that we are here to serve together, not to just consume, but to give our lives to one another, to serve and build one another up. This is why being committed to a local body as a church family is so important. By the way, you can text the word join to 75709. You guessed it. You can text that word and you'll get all the details about that class. You'll hear about the meal we'll serve you. And so you can come and join us for that class and learn what does it mean to commit rather than to simply consume. If you've been sitting on the sidelines and sort of just watching, everybody do that for a season. It's wise. It's okay. Do that to learn a little bit. But when you commit and God calls and says, hey, I want to join this body of believers on mission to see his name made famous in this city and beyond. That is where we kill consumerism. And so we do that. What are we building up? Laying on the foundation of Christ. How are we doing this? A contractor, as they build this building or you build a house, you can use cheap materials, things that won't last. The reality, you all know this, the house that goes up fast, it might look good on the outside, but ultimately will not stand. And so often in the Christian life, we are building things up that are not from God. And so ask yourself the question first again, is Christ my firm foundation? And then as the foundation for our lives, what are we building up? Are we building our lives through the Word of God? Are we building our lives in community with other believers? Are we building our lives together on mission to serve His glory and to see His name made famous wherever it is that we go, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, on our sports teams? These are the building materials that will last. These are the building materials that will survive through the fire. And here's the beauty of what Paul says. On that day of testing, the work will be revealed. There will be a fire. And notice even how he reminds us of the gospel again. If anyone's work is burned up, if what you've been giving your life to ultimately is burned away, maybe this morning you're realizing, yeah, I've been giving my life to things that ultimately don't matter that much. They'll be burned up. He himself will be saved. We're not talking about our redemption. We're not talking about the gospel, because the gospel is that firm foundation. But what he's teaching us is what we build up on that foundation matters. It matters. Why does it matter? Well, he gives us one illustration of that in verse 16. It matters because we are God's temple. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Can you imagine that? If you have not heard that before, some of you may know this, maybe a reality you sort of can easily affirm, but when Christ comes, when he saves you, when you have been redeemed, the promise of Scripture is that God's Spirit fills you, it indwells you. You become a temple of God. Your life, what you do matters because you are a temple of God given and meant to reflect his glory to the world. How are we doing that? If we're not building ourselves up in ways that last, ultimately we're missing this great opportunity, the opportunity to reflect the glory of God to the world around us. And he warns that if you destroy God's temple, if you try to corrupt God's temple, how precious are you as God's temple to God himself? Notice what happens to the one who destroys God's temple. God will destroy him. That tells you, friend, that tells you how precious you are, how precious your life is to God. You are not insignificant. You are not something that is unknown, someone who is not cared for deeply by Almighty God. And so as we come to face with this reality of how precious we are to God as his temple, we should take seriously, what is it that we are building up? What do the walls of our lives look like? What kind of fixtures have we hung in our lives? Do they rightly reflect the love and the grace and the power of Christ? Is that our message with our mouths as people who are indwelled with His Spirit? Because it matters how we live. It also matters because He teaches us, as He closes in verses 18 and following, it matters because the wisdom of God is communicated through us. Let no one deceive himself, verse 18. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. When we travel to other parts of the world, if you've been blessed to travel to a place that is older than our nation, as great as our nation is, we don't have much that is old. We're only 250 years old. But when you go to Europe, you go to other places in the world, you see some quite ancient architecture. And you know that it amazes me every time I see it. How did they do that? I was able to travel to Jerusalem at one point a number of years ago, and I stood on the steps of the temple, and I stood there and I looked at these stones. Each of these stones, by the way, this is an 8 foot. Each piece of this stage is 8 foot by 4 foot. Those of you guys that know what plywood looks like, it's the same size. And the stones were bigger than each piece of this, 8 foot by 4 foot. Giant stones, and you're just amazed. But it lasts because the foundation is good. There's a legacy from those buildings, from those places. Wisdom that endures the test of time is the wisdom from above. The world chases after wisdom and promotes itself as knowing all of the greatest things. As we hear in the world, we hear all of the wisest people espousing all of the various thoughts that they might espouse. And yet, when we come to God's word is the lasting. For 2,000 years, the church, as we talked about last week, has gathered and anchored itself to this truth. Because it lasts, and it lasts because it is true. And so he warns us, don't deceive yourself. Be honest about your spiritual condition. I think I failed to do this when I first stood up here, but I always invite you to come down. I'd love a chance to meet you. I'll be right here in the center of the room as we end our service in just a moment. And I want to, every time I invite you, just come and share, like, you can just introduce yourself. Or perhaps the Spirit of God has stirred something up in your heart and you say, I want to ask about this. I want to have a conversation about this. If perhaps you came here this morning and Jesus is not your firm foundation, simply come up and say, I'm not sure that Jesus is my foundation. And we'll schedule a time to get together and talk more, and I'll share from my life, or we'll get some people around you to share from their life so that we might help you understand how valuable and why it's so precious that Jesus would be the foundation of your life. But don't deceive yourself. Don't allow yourself to be here this morning in this place, in the presence of God, in the presence of His people, and miss the opportunity to say, I'm not sure that I've really built my life on Christ alone. Let the warning be an opportunity to receive the grace and mercy of Christ. Have you deceived yourself? Have you been living a lie for yourself, trying to do all the right things, trying to just get by? And perhaps God, through the power of His Holy Spirit right now, is saying, let me tear some things up in your life so I can lay down a new foundation of the gospel. I was amazed this week. It took them literally like 7 hours to destroy everything that was there. And now they're going to begin to build back up. It took almost no time. And then it took some time. It's going to take time and dedication to build back up. And so would you let us to come alongside you and help you to build your life on Christ alone? Paul closes by saying, you put your hope in Paul or Apollos or Cephas. You put your hope in these men. Don't put your hope in them. Messengers are a gift of God's grace. I pray that in some way God might use me as a messenger to communicate His grace and His love and the truth of His word to you. But do not put your hope in men. Do not put your hope in these gifted leaders. Put your hope in Christ alone. And don't boast in them, but boast in Christ alone. And then he closes by saying, all things are yours. Everything that I have given you, I've given you some Paul, I've given some Apollos, I've given some of you Pastor Ryan. Oh man, pity your souls. I've given some of you this leader or that leader. It's all mine. And you are Christ's. So boast in him. He's the one that gives us life. That's my testimony as well. Friends, don't be deceived. Don't build your life on foundations that will fail. Build your life on the foundation of Christ alone. And if Jesus is your sure and firm foundation this morning, then begin to erect a structure or continue to build a structure, build walls and paint and light fixtures and all of the things, all for the glory of God. This is what we do. This is what we are called to do. By God's grace, may we do it well. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the opportunity to gather together in this place. I thank you for the foundation of the gospel. I pray that everyone in this room, those in our overflow space, thank you again for their patience and their grace. Those that are watching from some distant place this morning, wherever they are, wherever they're listening from, wherever they're hearing these words, may we be reminded that you, Jesus, are our firm foundation and the only foundation that will last. If there's anyone who has not built their life upon you, Holy Spirit, would you come as we close reminding ourselves of just who you are, as we sing to you one last time. Holy Spirit, would you come and tear down walls that are around hearts that have not yet put their faith and trust in you, and would you lay a new foundation of your grace and your mercy, of your salvation. And may collectively, we as your people, then build upon that good foundation of the gospel and build our lives, not on men, not on the wisdom of the world, but on your truth, on who you are, with your people collectively together. Help us in all these things, we pray. In Christ's beautiful and mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world.